Prop Chasers, and happy Wednesday, October 20th. It is part two of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It is also the premiere of Winter House, and I can honestly just tell you, they're both going to be so good. We are blessed in this Bravo world, but there's so much to discuss today. I'm back from my extended weekend, and I have so many entertainment topics to talk about. First, let me introduce myself. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pop Chaser, a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. I am Allison, and every day we will go through the top entertainment headlines together. So I was off last week at the end of the week. I was off at the beginning of this week, and I am back, baby. And I am ready to discuss spoilers galore. So if you haven't seen You season 3 or you haven't finished it yet, I'm warning you, I am going to talk about some spoilers because I do feel like a lot of people watched that all in one sitting and we got to get to it. So first up, let's talk You. So as I said, spoilers abound. I thought that giving you guys like 4 to 5 days was enough time. If it's not, that's fine. But just skip to the next section. Look in the show notes and find out when I start spoiling The Bachelorette. Then you'll go. Okay, so I thought that season 3 of You was fantastic. I understand that some people maybe have the argument that Joe is just getting into the same old shit with a different person each time. But I think that this season, the stakes were much higher than they usually are. And that's what really drew me in. First of all, Madre Linda makes, I want to move there. And I know that that's probably weird to say, but if I can just keep, you know, keep my nose out of other people's business, I think I would enjoy myself. I really, really do. But I liked the concept of Joe trying to right the wrongs of his childhood by raising his son to not be like him, but at the same time, also grappling with trying to figure out what love actually means. And I think that this season, I felt like it was his most complex because in the past, I think his understanding of love was so elementary in that, like, you just do whatever you need to do to keep the object of your affection completely secluded from everybody else but yourself. He did that with Beck. He did that with love in season 2. And then obviously when we found out that love was just as unpredictable as he was, things got a little bit more complicated. And I do think that it was really great to see him consider love like this monster when he would do the exact same thing. It just wasn't for her anymore. It was his new obsession, Marianne. So at least Marianne for the moment. And I'm shocked that Marianne and her daughter just walked out of that house and we're like, okay, bye. We're going to go to Paris. Maybe, who knows, but the few and far between are the people who get out of Love and Joe's wrath. And, you know, and when I say few and far between, I mean, Love doesn't even get out. So speaking of Love, I was obsessed with her in this season. I thought that her character arc was fantastic. She is such an incredibly complex character. And at the same time was, you knew what to expect from her. And I think that that's just a sign of good writing. I thought that the final twist of Love accidentally killing her first husband, James, through giving him too much wolfsbane was fantastic because I think that, you know, I always had this feeling that she had something to do with it. But to know that, like, this time around, she was like, oh, I'm not even doing this on accident. I'm going to make sure that I can control you and not accidentally kill you like she did with James was fantastic. Joe being on to her from the very beginning and knowing that she was growing this poisonous plant in their backyard with a young child, God bless, is just proof that Chekhov's gun is very much a narrative device that this show relies on. We have the keys that they put into the glass cage in the basement. We knew that those were going to come back into play, but even seeing Joe sitting on a lawn chair with Love in the background, planting this poisonous plant, we should have picked up on that. We should have known that this was going to be important, especially because I believe at that time it's like him talking about this suburban utopia that really they are not living. But just so it was such a good finale. I thought that it moved at such a quick pace, and I will probably never look at a pot pie or a toe for that matter the same way. And I certainly will never look at a purple flowered plant ever the same way. I will always be scared. I will always be scared. I was obsessed with Sherry and Carrie. I thought that they were incredible, and I'm so glad that they made it out alive. I thought that the night that they were all going to go swing together, and then they accidentally overheard them talking about how they've killed multiple people, was really fun. And I loved when, you know, you thought that something romantic was going to happen, and then Cherry was just like, run. Just, it was so good. And then once that started, it just never slowed down. Theo, scene stealer. I loved him. I love that actor. And I hope that he can just like stay out of harm's way. And yeah, I mean, I think overall it was a really fun season. I told everybody this on Friday, but please, please, please check out all of the coverage that The Dip did on You Season 3. Just go to thedip.com/you, Y-O-U. It's all there, and it's so completist. If you want a ranking of the Madre Linda neighbors, it is there. If you want to read me go on a journey to learn as much about Wolfsbane as I can, it is there. It's a frequently asked questions about Wolfsbane brought to you by me, somebody who knows nothing about botany. If you want to read about The Ending Explained, or our theories about Joe's brother, or our theories about Joe's mom, or where Joe is going, is Emily in Paris going to get involved? We have it all. So please go check all of that out on thedip.com. Use the promo code PopChaser for 50% off your annual subscription. You guys know the deal, but I just had to plug it because it is so fun. All of the content there, can see some of it for free, and then you can see the rest of it when you become a subscriber. So please visit us on thedip.com. Now let's move on to the next topic of the morning, and that is the Bachelorette premiere. So Michelle's season of the Bachelorette premiered last night. I think Michelle is great, and I'm very glad that she is going to guide us through this new season. I do have to say, I'm a little tired of the Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise right now. I think I could use a little bit of a break. I think the show perhaps overestimated people's interest for it and how much we actually wanted it back to back to back. But look, I guess I shouldn't complain about the amount of entertainment we have. It's just, I wouldn't have been upset if we had like a 3-week break, but alas, we don't. And you know, with that said, I do look forward to watching Michelle's season. It's hard to really touch down much on the premiere because there's just so many moving pieces. Obviously, Ryan Fox is worth discussing, this clown. So I am really surprised that we're this many seasons in and we still have people agreeing to be part of stunts that only make them look ridiculous. So this one, especially, if you didn't see, Ryan is a contestant on Michelle's season of The Bachelorette. He showed up with a playbook, and we saw this in the promos for the season 2, but he showed up with a playbook, a cheat sheet for how he can win the show and not be a villain and have Michelle fall in love with him. Now, I think a lot of people would be like, that's pretty weird. That is making me feel like he's here for the wrong reasons, that this is all orchestrated. His bio on the site, on the ABC site, says that he is a planner who creates lists for all endeavors he pursues, and that includes his love life. Now, I am a Capricorn, and Capricorns are notorious for never doing anything on a whim. We don't do anything without an itinerary. So I actually think I understand taking notes, keeping certain things in mind. I don't think I would have a list that says how to not become a villain, because that almost feels like some cartoon shit of like where they're just like, don't press this button, and then they press the button. But I do think that it's maybe understandable to come into the competition with a notepad. People take notes, they journal, it's really no different if you're journaling and just saying like, you know, Michelle really likes this. She looks for this. Keep these things in mind. What can you do to bring into it? Now, with that said, that's not exactly what we had here, because in February of 2020, Ryan was the bachelor at one of Becca Kufrin and Ben Higgins' stops on the Bachelor Live Tour. So from my understanding, the Bachelor Live Tour was basically like the show condensed into like a 90-minute live experience. So he was chosen to be a bachelor, which meant he went through prep with an entire Bachelor Live staff, aka producers. Now, it's hard to imagine that his performance at Bachelor Live didn't give him connections to then maybe being on the show later in life. So it is kind of questionable, of course. Did he take those notes when he was on Bachelor Live? Did he bring them when he found out he was going to be on the show? Did producers just reach out to him and say, hey, buddy, like, we kind of have a fun idea. You seem like you know, were engaging and would enjoy being on TV. Is this something you would be a part of? I think I personally lean more towards this being a plant. With that said, I'm not going to dock the guy for bringing some notes, but just don't bring notes that make it sound like you're literally there just to become a villain, because in that case, it's just a little sloppy. But I also just want to know, like, I want a full dissertation on the notes. If we can get these published in an academic journal, that would be great. I do think that like we are at the point in our cultural the cultural conversations we are having about The Bachelor that we can have some published works. And I'm not talking about like another memoir. I want actual academic research. And if that's something that Ryan has already provided for us, then who am I to say? Who am I to say? But look, Michelle is a big girl. She can handle these guys. And that's what I loved about the premiere. She does not hold back. She can, I think that's like the perk of having a teacher as a lead. She knows how to handle unruly individuals. And Michelle absolutely showed that. I'm very excited about this season. I think we have some good front runners who I'm still feeling out, but maybe by next week I'll have my full top five list, but there were some guys out I loved a lot of them. And my hope is that Michelle can find somebody great. And I hope that guy is not Ryan Fox. So let's move on to the next bit of news. So clearly we have to talk about the big engagement from the weekend. Kravis, Courtney, and Travis, they are engaged, and you all know this because even my mom asked me about it. So I don't need to talk about the fact that they're engaged, but I am wondering how everyone is. And by everyone, I'm curious about Scott and when the Hulu show that was definitely filming will premiere with the footage, and when the wedding is, and is Mason going to give her away? Will Rob give her away? Will no one give her away? I just kind of thought of the Mason thing off the top of my head, and then I got a little teary-eyed thinking about it. I have a lot of questions, of course, but the biggest one I have is actually about a Dumois blind item that seems to relate to Kravis and perhaps another Hollywood couple. So let me backtrack a little bit. I saw a Dumois that I would love help figuring out. And I think if you guys want, you can tweet me your thoughts. I've had a few of you tweet me blind item suggestions in the past, and it's helpful because I feel like sometimes I get blinders on and I only see one couple, and there's like a million other couples it could apply to. So someone sent in a Dumois tip, and it said, this popular Real Housewife will be wearing something sparkly very, very soon. Now, I'm pretty sure that this is about Teresa Giudice, because there have been rumors of her and Louis getting engaged. They're on a very romantic couples vacation right now. It just feels inevitable. But then someone replied to the Dumois tip and said, also, new celeb besties are doing back-to-back engagements, announcing soon. So immediately, I think celeb besties, Courtney, Travis, Megan, and Machine Gun Kelly, they have been all over each other, and it kind of feels like it's just a very new, recent thing. So I'm wondering, are Megan Fox, two Foxes in one episode of Pop Chaser, I can't believe I just said Megan Kelly, by the way. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly headed for the aisle as well. And if so, can we get that footage on the Hulu Kardashian show, I'm still recovering from Machine Gun Kelly saying that he is weed, but I think that I could see this happening. I feel like this is, it's just a matter of time. And the wedding dresses, the bride will wear a black leather dress and the groom will wear tattoos on his neck. But I think I'm here for it, especially the Megan Machine Gun Kelly thing. I think I'm really into that couple. And when it comes to Courtney, I have to say, I saw a lot of videos. One of Travis's sons post a video of them all at dinner saying that he like loves his new family. And that actually got to me. I saw somebody comment too that Courtney has never been proposed to. And while I don't think Courtney like needs a man, I do think that that is probably something that is just very special for her. So I know that I joke about Scott and Courtney being endgame, but I am very happy because I do think Courtney Kardashian has never seemed happier. I'm just wondering, is her style always going to be Travis Barker inspired, or will we go back to normal Courtney? I don't know. And honestly, I don't care, but I do have questions about the style. Okay, you guys, that is it for today. I hope everybody has a fantastic Wednesday. We will get into Beverly Hills. We will get into Winter House tomorrow. Do not worry. Tweet me your suggestions when it comes to that Dumois blind item. I think it's Megan and Machine Gun Kelly, but I could be swayed otherwise. And let me know what you thought of the Bachelorette premiere. Let me know what you thought. Is Ryan Fox a plant or is he just really bad at this? And of course, I want to hear all about season 3 of You. So you can tweet me at Allison Pewo. You can also tweet The Dip. I'll see it all. And I will be back tomorrow with new headlines. Until then, I hope everyone has a fantastic day and cheers.